in the book of Jeremiah. Try to explain just a little bit to you this morning of why that you don't have nothing but water and bread. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin, throughout all thy borders, and thou even thyself shall discontinue from thine heritage that I give thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary, O Lord. The hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil and destruction, and destroy them with double destruction. All right. There is a lot of things that has been said in this scripture that makes it evident to me that what I quoted to you before I read was the truth. The thought here, the question is asked, behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? That would be a good thought in the day that we're living in, if we could say, where is the word of the Lord? Is it in Georgia? Is it in Missouri? Is it in the Carolinas? Where is the word of the Lord? Praise the Lord. I appreciate the confidence of the brethren. Where is God's word? Where is God's word? Judah, you've sinned so that I've had to engrave it with a pen of a diamond. Where is the word of the Lord? What has happened to the word of the Lord? Has the word of God departed from Jacob? Has the word of the Lord been taken away from Judah? Where is the word of God? Has the word of God been lifted from what we refer to as beautiful America? Has the Word of God been taken away? Have we turned to heresy and ideas? Have we turned to our own opinions? Have we followed after a vain vision? Are we really in the anointing of God? Have we really had communication with God? Or, as the Scripture says, is all of our foxes or all of our prophets as foxes? Are we seeing a vain vision? Do we have anything for the people? Has Christ really spoke to us? Where is the Word of the Lord? Where is the Word of God? You follow me? Where is the Word of God? Is the Word of God departed from our midst? Is the Word of God completely taken from out of the midst of the people in the church? Has God withdrawn His Word? Has He taken the Word away? I tell you something, people, this is the truth. The Word of the Lord is departing from the people. The Word of God is being taken away from the people. You say, Brother Pine, how can you prove that? By looking at the different translations that we've got coming up from time to time, versions of the Bible, it is evident that God is withdrawing from humanity and taking away the Word of God. He is letting the evil powers of darkness come in and pervert and change the Word of God into a lie. Now you say, Brother Pike, why would God allow Satan to come in and change the Word of God into a lie? The Bible tells us because we have not a love for the truth, then God will send us strong delusions, cause us to believe a lie, and be damned. Is that right? Is that Bible? Because America has not the love for the truth, then God will send her strong delusions, cause her to believe a lie, and be damned. That is why it is necessary for me to pray and you to pray, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God is going to lead you as an individual or lead us as a nation either into heresy and into temptation and into the wrath of God, or He is going to lead us by His Spirit into the great, wonderful ways of life. You understand? Into heresy or away from the things of God, that is, or into the great things of eternal life. So then God is expecting you and I to do something. He's expecting us to have a vision. He's expecting us to rise up and come to the front for God and stand up and be a light and let our light so shine that the world might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. God is expecting that of us. We should be filled with the Spirit. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. We come to the church. We want to speak in tongues. We want to prophesy. But we want to live like the devil out yonder. We want to blow up. We want to have a temper fit. We want to be careless. We want to tell people off. We want to satisfy this old feeling of ours. We want to do what we want to do out there. But when we come to God's house, we want God to use us. That's a hypocrite. That's a hypocrite. And God said He'd burn him with fire. But folks, we're supposed to be a holy people, a blessed people, a righteous people. I'm not supposed to ease off from here and every chance I get watch the ungodly things on a television program. I'm not supposed to ease out from here and just as quick as I get away from my congregation, satisfy the lust of my flesh with the passions and the desires of the world to go off to the worldly frolics of Six Flags and wherever you go. Come on, folks. You don't like that kind of preaching, some of you. I know it. You know why? Because you're guilty. You want to go to every worldly frolic that there is and still say, well, God understands it's educational. It is educational. And the educational system is the greatest path to hell I know of. So then God is expecting you to swear to your own hurt, to die out to the things of the world, to mortify the deeds of the body, and to get rid of your temper and your worldly desires and turn to Christ and do something for God. He's expecting it out of you. He's expecting you to get a vision and to rise up and be about your Father's business and stop giving your lazy excuses and not doing anything for God. Writing Spiritual Conquest, Frank reminded me of a crude expression I used the other day when I said that there's a lot of sharks in the waters. How many of you know that? The Bible likens people to waters, and I've come to find out there's a lot of sharks in the waters. But I think Brother Taylor might have thought I got a little crude when I said there's a lot of fat, lazy whales, too. They just lazy around and wants to glut down everything they can get. But I want you to know something, folks. God is expecting us to do something. There's a job to be done. How do you know that? God wants somebody that will rally like a great army. You have an army, you train them, you process them, you drill them. You make them to be ready right on the spur of the moment, like the Minutemen was in the early history of our country. That we should be like the Minutemen. We should be ready at all times. Keep our hearts, our minds spiritually fit to get up and go do something for God at the very command of Christ. At the sounding of the trumpet, be ready to do something. Be like Gideon's men. Gather around. Keep our lives clean. Keep our lives holy. You know, in service, you have to keep this body in shape. Brother Gonzalez was a sergeant, I believe, in there for about 9 years. And he knows what I'm talking about. You have to keep this body fit. You have to be ready to get up and go. They drill you and train you and feed you right. I'm trying to feed you right here. I'm trying to give you the right kind of food. But some of you need some spiritual exercise. You need to do a little something and get up and be about your Father's business and get out there and getting training and cut off some of that old slothfulness, some of that old laziness, some of that old unconcern, some of that old lust of the flesh, some of that old passion. You need to drill yourself until you get rid of it and get in shape and show the body of Jesus Christ, come into the stature of the Lord Jesus, that it's not you that's living with all that old gluttony hanging on, the sin that does so easily beset you. But be the image of God. Be the image of the Lord Jesus. Be the man of God. Be Christ to the world, that they might see the Lord. Paul said, God chose me that he might reveal Christ in my life. Fast a little bit. Pray a little bit. Study a little bit. And do something for somebody that you might be a light to bring about something in your life that God can be proud of you and God can love you and God can say, that's my son. You see Job down there, Satan, have you ever tried him? You ever went down to find out what kind of servant he is? God can just stand back and say, that's my servant. Have you tried him? Have you put him to the test? Do you know what he would be like if you tried to tempt him? You understand what I mean? Boy, it'd be too bad if God picked some of us out to do that, wouldn't he? While we whine like a little baby, like a little bunch of babies. Every time we spiritually stump our toe, we just about have a fit. Now, that's all right for babies, spiritual babies. I understand that. But some of us have been in the understanding long enough to be a good soldier. The Bible says to war a good warfare, to quit like a man and be a good soldier. Endure hardship like a good soldier. So it's time that we got up and begin to do something. God is expecting more out of us than just to sit around and not do anything, folks. In the meeting that's coming up in Missouri, you ought to be prayed up, fasted up, ready to go up there and do something. Not be making plans to go up there because you know that's the gateway of the West and you want to ride that elevator, you know, and go up in the top and have dinner. We wouldn't have nobody like that here, would we? Not just going for the ride to go to Missouri, but going to be a blessing for God. When I went to Israel, I did not go for pleasure. I did not go on a sightseeing tour. I went to do something for Christ. And while I was there, I prayed and I sought God. And I stayed on my knees during the night. Hallelujah, I can feel the Holy Ghost bearing witness to it. I stayed on my knees and I prayed and I said, God, speak to me. And God, help me.
oh Lord, to do something for you. And I said, Lord, bless those brothers back at home. And I called your names one by one as I prayed. And I said, Lord, help brother such and such. Help his little wife. Help his little children. Father, help the cause of Christ. Lord, don't let anything happen to him. Help him there at the church. Help Brother Lyman to do his best there at the church and the others as they rally to the things of God. I prayed for you. I prayed for you. I hope you prayed for me. I prayed for you. I know that some of you prayed for me. I know that you did. But what about the ones that didn't pray for me? What about those that love me so much that they never pray for me? They love me so good that they never tell God anything about me unless it's bad. They never tell anybody anything about me unless it's finding fault. They love me so good. They never think anything about me unless it's mixed with thoughts of evil and contrariness because they love me so much. You know that isn't love. Love worketh no ill to its neighbor. Love don't find fault. Love esteems others better than itself. Love will omit and take away a multitude of sins. Love is as strong as death. And without love, you are like sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though you might be religious and prophesy and speak in tongues and go to church and give and attend the meetings and everything else. But without the Spirit of God within you, without the Spirit of charity, and God is charity and God is love. Without love, you don't have the Spirit of God. God is love. If you don't have love, you have a formality. You have a ritualistic. You have a plan. You have a theory. But you don't have God. But when you got love, you got God. Somebody say amen. Now, it may appear that here I'm too strict. I say things to you, and I try my best to help you, and it looks like that I'm too strict. And you say, Brother Pike, you want to bring us right down to the very hairline. You want to try to indoctrinate us to where we can't even think anything, you know, out in the world. That is true. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. But brethren, let me tell you something. You're going to be glad. You're going to be glad because the spirit of death is out there. The spirit of sorrow is out there. The spirit of heartaches is out there. The spirit of damnation is out there. Satan is the prince over the powers of the air. They're working in the air to destroy you and everything that you got. Satan wants to destroy everything that he can't take control of. If he can't get control of you, he'll destroy you. If he can't get control of the world, he wants to destroy the world. Everything he can't get control of, he wants to destroy it. He'll destroy your morals. He'll destroy your health. He'll destroy your mental capacity. He'll destroy your talents, your abilities, everything. He'll destroy it. Satan will do that. How many of you know that? Satan will destroy it. But if we come into one mind and one accord into the mind of Jesus, if every one of us has a mind that our brother is better than we are, that we love our brother better than we love ourselves, that we esteem our brother better than we esteem ourselves, and we look on the things of another, on our brother, rather than on the things of our own, and that we don't run after the things of our own, but we're concerned about the things of our brother. Come on, folks, say amen. Let's wake up. The midnight's here. Now then, you say, Brother Pike, what are you saying? I mean, when we give to brethren, I've been criticized by people because we tried to help the brethren out on the field, the other evangelists and different ones, because we tried to give to people. And usually the ones that criticize are those that don't give anything to help. They're just always hoboing and finding fault and causing division. You build a ministry is by giving to somebody else. That's why that God has given some men a ministry and haven't given you a ministry. Because your mind is on yourself. You're trying to build your ministry, trying to go your way and do your thing and preserve your lot. And because of that, God has cut you off. But if you'd have took your brother and tried to help your brother and push your brother and done something for your brother, you too would have had a ministry. Well, what is a ministry? What is a ministry? Isn't a ministry washing your brother's feet? Jesus said, I didn't come to be ministered to. I come to wash your feet, not for you to wash my feet.
Is that right?
I come to do something for you, not to get you to do something for me. Out of gratitude, we ought to do something for God. Somebody said, well, I think he requires an awful lot myself. Well, I don't think he does. They said, what must we do to work the works of the Lord? He said, the works of the Lord's finished, that it's been finished from the foundation of the world, was instigated in the mind of God before the world ever was. He said, it's finished, said it's been finished. He said, this is the works of God. He said, I come to do it. I finished it at Calvary. Thank you, brother. He said, I finished it at Calvary. I come to do the works of God. He said, this is the works of God, that you believe on him whom the Father has sent. All I'm asking you to do is just believe in my works, and I'll give you grace. I think that's a pretty good exchange, don't you? So then God hasn't required anything out of us in any strenuous manner. But I think out of the love of our heart for what God has done in securing us, that we will show forth the fruits of holiness and righteousness toward God and God's kingdom and concern toward God's people. I believe that in your heart, if there is not love and concern toward the ministry, toward God's people, toward God's kingdom, you don't have God. If that spirit could be so concerned about you through the life of Jesus Christ, and if that spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if you're partakers of that spirit in your life will react in the same way that it did the life of Christ and be concerned in the same manner toward others as it was toward you. If you are not concerned, you don't have it, because there's no change in it. If you are concerned about your own ways of life, your own things of life, your own means of life, then you've got the spirit of the devil. You understand what I said? I said, if you're concerned about paying your bills, paying your rent, looking after your behalf, taking care of your family, not concerned about God and God's house and God's people, you've got the spirit of the devil. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. The old saying, you're foreign no more. But brother, when you become concerned about God's house and to seek God's kingdom and God's people, you not only will be concerned about God's people, but you'll be concerned about the welfare of your wife and your children as well. And God will take care of them as you begin to seek the welfare of God. A lot of people, you know, they just do anything to get around the truth. The devil talks to their mind. They'll give 50 cents to the church in Hobo for a year and a half and let their family be drugged from pillar to post and say, it's because I'm putting God first and I'm serving God, and that's why I'm in the condition I'm in, you liar. If your testimony is true, then God is a liar. We all need to quit serving him. When you give to God, God will provide for you. Somebody said, well, that proves that I'm really giving to God. I'm in better shape than another. You liar, that still don't prove nothing. It may be that you're in better shape to that extent because you're hoarding things and won't share with the others. There's a cross sometimes. There's a dry place sometimes. There's a place that you have to go through to make a sacrifice sometimes. The little widow went through some dry places to give of her substance to God. But there comes the rewarding day. There comes the day of rejoicing. There comes the day when God will bless you. Though I find the favor of every businessman in the world, though I find the favor of the president, though I find the favor of the governors, what have I found? What have I received? What good is that to my soul? I might find the favor of every creditor, and I believe we ought to have the favor in that Jesus grew in favor with man and God. If you seek the kingdom, God will see that you have it. But if I seek to make of myself a reputation, whereas Jesus did not do that, then I create a snare for myself. I may find the favor of every person. I may gain the whole world. But supposing I do and lose my soul, then what profit have I got? Are you listening? So then, I'm not trying to find the favor of man. The Bible said, cursed is the man that leaneth on the arm of flesh. Somebody said, I'm going to pay my bills. And then this fellow, he'll think a lot of me. Don't be foolish. That man will think a lot of you as long as he's getting your money. He doesn't care anything, not one thing does he care about you. He may say good things and good morning, sir, and you're this and you're that. And he'll criticize the others. And the weak brother, he'll tear down in your presence. And you hypocrite, you'll stand there and laugh for it. Some businessman that's a shrewd shark, that's a killer, because he's got you into his control, helping him kill, he'll stand there and talk to you and say, you know, you're a real credit to them people over there. Come on, folks. You're a real credit, because I know such and such and such a person that goes over there, and they just don't do, they don't handle their affairs the way you do. No, because you're a thief, and you rob God, and you take everything from God to please the devil. Maybe that other fellow's struggling. Instead of you standing up for him and being a real man and say, wait just a minute. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe there's a complex. There was a day when you couldn't do so good. I said, there's a day when the president didn't do so good. As far as I'm concerned, he ain't doing too good now. Now, so then, we're not seeking the favor of mankind. We want to be honest. We want to be upright. We want to be truthful. We want to pay our debts. We want to do it on time as near as it's possible. But we want to put God first in our life. We want to pray to God. We want to seek God. We want to fast. We want to study. We want to give. And then God can take care of the rest of it. Come on, folks. Now, I have for a number of years served Christ. I have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars and still owe many thousands of dollars. I have tried by the grace of God to share with mankind and to teach you to do the same thing, to try to be the right example. I know for a fact that some of you have lost credit, prestige, and all kind of things by hoarding it to yourselves. You've lost your credit cards. Some of you have lost them by hoarding it to yourself. But I have tried by the grace of God, to be honest, and to honor God with my substance. And even though I have been in jeopardy many times of losing mine, we still have a stack of them like that. Haven't lost a one of them. Though we've had the devil to take advantage when we've just let somebody have the card and go out and live it up and put me in a bind. But I prayed and I said, God, don't let the name be injured because it's for your cause that I desire it, not for mine. And God has kept them, every one of them. Today we still have a good credit standing today. We have been able to build. We've been able to help. We've been able to do things because of Jesus, of putting him first. My cup has run over. I've been able to help you a lot of times instead of you helping me. By praying and asking God when I needed your help. But you wasn't in condition to help me. Now, it is a proven way. If you honor God with your substance, your barns will be filled with plenty and your presses will burst out with new wine. Your cup will run over. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you try to drop a dime into God's cause, God's going to give you back a dime. If you pray 5 minutes and feel like you've done something for God, God's going to reward you with 5 minutes of prayer. Come on, folks. If you go to church once out of every 2 or 3 weeks, God is going to reward you accordingly. If you share with others your pennies, God's going to share with you his pennies. Come on. What you would that men should do unto you, Jesus said you do this unto them first. Love your neighbor as yourself. And some fellow said, who is my neighbor? Jesus was shrewd. Jesus was wise. He knew that man wanted to get around doing something for his neighbor. Jesus said, if you want to know what a neighbor is, see how he reversed it. You see how he reversed it? Said, if you want to know what a neighbor is, he told about a certain incident and the man laid in the ditch. Somebody came along and passed him up, the priest and the wealthy men. And then a neighbor came by. And the neighbor picked him up. And the neighbor took him to the inn. And the neighbor took care of him. Jesus said, you go do likewise. He confounded the man. The man was looking for a loophole. But Jesus said, let's see what a neighbor is. You want to know who a neighbor is, who your neighbor is? He said, this is your neighbor. You go do that. You go be a neighbor first. You understand what I'm saying? So then God is expecting something out of us. He's expecting us to rise up. First, God. First, God. First, God. Asher was smitten in the feet. He sought not God. He sought the physicians. First, the doctors. First, the doctors. You know why people run to the doctor every time something happens? You want me to tell you why? Because they live such a shadow life with God. They live such a shadow life with God. They stay under condemnation from gossip. They stay under condemnation but not doing nothing from God, for God. And every time something happens, they know that they're not in touch with God and they run to the doctor. I don't see anything wrong with medical aid. I don't see anything wrong if a doctor stays in his place and keeps his hands off of the ladies. There's nurses for that. Somebody said you can't get along without them. We did for many hundreds and thousands of years. You follow me? As long as he stays in his place and does what God tells him to do, he's all right. He uses his talent for God. And uses it according to the Bible. I said, okay. Are you listening? God smote Asher in his feet because he sinned against God. But Asher didn't go to God and ask God what the trouble was. Some of you got bodily afflictions, you got problems. But you're not going to God. You're not asking God what the problem is. You keep bypassing God and going over to the medicine jug. You say, jug used to be a bottle. But you got so many up there now, you can fill up a jug. Now, if Asher had gone to God, the Bible distinctly states that God would have healed him. Because the complication was because of God. Can evil come to a city and God not send it? Can there be an affliction in your life and God has not sent it? Was Job afflicted and God had not allowed for it or sent it? God wants us to check up in the day of adversity. Consider. The Bible said, he that is afflicted, let him moan. There's a reason for it. Let him moan before God till God answers him, till God shows him what's wrong. A lot of people will ride a hobby horse. And they'll say, but Brother Pike, don't you remember the case? I remember the case. You'd never let me forget it. What was the case? That neither this man nor his parents had sinned. I remember the case. I remember the case. But I also remember that the Bible did not say that sin was not the cause of the sickness. It didn't say that. The Bible said God is the God that visits the iniquity of the fathers down upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. When trouble fell in the Old Testament, David was ruling. David was a good man. David was trying to do what was right. But all of a sudden, a plague hit the land. David went to God, and David said to God, said, God, there's got to be a reason for this. What is the reason? I've tried to please you. I've tried to do what's right. But there's still a plague in the land. What is the reason? On one occasion, God said, David, it's because the people have sinned against me and displeased me. On another occasion, he said, David, it's because of the sinful house of Saul. He said, I still haven't forgotten the murder. I still haven't forgotten the evil deeds he done and the way that he took the lives of mothers and children. I haven't forgot, David. Though the years have passed by, I haven't forgot. Go and get his evil sons. and bring them out and hang them on a tree out there, and I'll lift this plague. God will make you pay for your wrongs. As Brother Jack Cole preached one time, God will set your barley fields on fire. Amen. He'll do something. Now I want you to know something, folks. God's expecting something out of you and me. When we are afflicted, we need to moan. There's a reason for it. If Asa had went to God, God would have healed him. But the Bible said because he sought the physicians rather than God, he died. A lot of you have problems of gossip and tail-bearing and sickness and all kind of deficiencies when it comes to paying your bills and everything else. But you don't go to God about it. You say, well, Brother Pike, I'm doing my best. I have some of you to come to me and you say, Brother Pike, I'm doing my best. And I know that you're lying when you're talking to me. I know that you're not doing your best. You're not even making a good effort, some of you. Now you say, well, what about the others, Brother Pike? There is some people that are going through afflictions to shape their lives, to mold their lives, their character, to bring them into a greater light for God. But don't forget this. If that be the case of it, they'll be shining the more for God. They'll be doing the more for God. If it's a bridle on them to crush them in the sense of bringing out the glory and the light and the life of Christ, they'll be presenting the life of Christ. And Paul was stoned, shipwrecked, beat, sawn asunder, persecuted, a thorn in the flesh. It was to bring out Christ, suffering all the day long, accounted as sheep to the slaughter, all day long in peril of these things. To show forth the sufferings of Christ. He showed Christ the more. Christ the more. Christ the more. But if you're using that for a hobby horse, just to ride and say, well, God's afflicted me because I'm so close to him and you ain't doing nothing but causing troubles and problems, heartaches and sorrows and not making your light to shine for God, you are a liar. Don't lie against the truth. You have poverty, you have problems, you have heartaches, you have sorrows because you are doing as Asa, you are not consulting God. You got things in your life you need to get out. You've got thoughts in your head you need to get out. Thoughts in your heart you need to get out. Let the wicked man forsake his thoughts, or the unrighteous. The wicked man, let him forsake his ways. Jesus said, when you go to doing things wrong, you're not an unrighteous man. If I go out here and start mistreating my neighbor, you can't call me unrighteous. The Bible said I'm just downright wicked. But he said, when you begin to think the wrong thoughts, you're unrighteous. Let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts. Thoughts make you unrighteous in the sight of God. But brother, when you get to the place that you're practicing gossip and going about mistreating people, then you are wicked. Come on, folks. It's a close, narrow line. How many believe that? All right, then the question was asked, where is the word of God? Is it in our heart? God is within his temple. Let all the world keep silent. Where is God? Who is God? He's the word. Where is the word? Why worry about the word? Because he sent his word and healed him. Why worry about the word, Brother Pine? Because God sent his word and healed him. Why worry about the word? It's by faith comes eternal life. Simmer down. I'll close in a few minutes now. So then, God tells us in his word. He sent his word and healed him. He sends his word for our faith. He sends his word to cast out unclean spirits. You follow me? Like we got a letter from Sweden. The boy translated a tract. He must have been pleased with it. He sent back to be able to translate more tracts. But he said they didn't need a whole lot of teaching on demonology and everything over there, so they need some sincere, God-sent, God-speaking people so somebody could see a light. That's what it all turned down to. Come on, folks. We don't need a lot of super-dupers. We need some sincerity with God. We need some sincerity. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, if we can get a super-duper, he'll open the blind eyes and unstop the deaf ears and make the lame to walk. No, he won't. He'll cloud up your mind till you think this everything happening until he gets a hold of your pocketbook and then he'll skip town. You'll wind up going to the doctor in every other place and can't pay your bills either. But folks, when you get sincere with God, and when you find out where the word of God is, that word of God will come and heal you and take you out of poverty and loose you from evil spirits, and that word will save your soul.
And then we'll be a great church, a great body, a great mind of Christ, a great light. And we'll sweep over the world until our faith will be spoken of throughout the world. Like in Israel, when that man said, Brother Pike, I've never seen people like your people. I think it's wonderful, don't you? All right, I want you to stand with me. Let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If God has given you a work to do, if God has given you a position, if God has whispered in your ear something to His pleasure, my brother, do it with all of your heart. My sister, do it with all of your heart. Down here, we're trying to get the sewing room started. There's some of them already that's working all day. Really working down there. We're going to see that they have the necessary cloth so that our ladies can look beautiful and look like a lady when they walk around. Our daughters can be beautiful. The Bible said that Job's daughters was the most beautiful in all the land. That our daughters can look beautiful and clean and ladylike. That the air of lust will be taken away. That when a man meets another man's wife, that he won't even think of her in a degraded way, but in a holy, godly way. And that when she meets him, she'll think of him according to the mind of Christ. If you think of each other in any other way, you don't have the mind of Christ. Don't be dirty and filthy. Put your mind on heavenly things. Wherever your heart is, your treasures will be there. Let's be a real man, a real gentleman, a real Christian. Let's be a real lady. That's right. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. That we can be a real light for God. And that we can have a real little Bethlehem here that will be a light and a testimony for God in this dark, dismal age and wicked age that we're living in. God will reward us. God will reward us. I made the statement last night. We're going to put holiness unto God on our milk cartons. We're going to put holiness unto the Lord on our egg cartons. We're going to put holiness unto God on the pots and pans. We're going to put holiness unto God in our hearts, on our minds. It's going to be holiness unto the Lord. That's right. You say, what will that do? I believe when we do that, I told the brethren this last night, when we put holiness unto the Lord on the eggs, I believe God will purify the eggs. If there's any fallout in them, God will take it out. I believe when we put holiness unto the Lord and honor the Lord with the milk, God will purify the milk. Amen. I believe our food will become pure to us. I believe everything we honor God with. Hallelujah, that He'll bless. Even our money, I told him last night, we don't have any filthy lucre. That money we've got says holiness unto the Lord on it. Amen. You love the Lord? Now we'll be a healthy people. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? He said, your health will return unto you speedily. Isn't that right? All right, then what will happen? I believe that we'll live longer, even eternally. Amen. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. The world has lost something, folks. But the song says, I was lost, but Jesus found me. Hallelujah. Maybe they'll sing that one sometimes. Brother Taylor, I think, sings that. We wrote that a long time ago. I want Thee, Lord. I want Thee. Every hour I want Thee. I want Thee. Sweet Jesus, can you lift your hands? Oh, how I want Thee. I want you to listen to me, folks. People have went across the land. They've fasted. They've done many outstanding things to try to bring revival to the world. But they found out they couldn't bring it. But I bear you record today that we can be the people that can bring it. You know how? By getting right with God and loving the Lord and being of one mind and proving that God did not lie. We can see the signs and the miracles and the wonders that are real, genuine, that'll astound the doctors. We can prove that God has not lied, that God has not cut the church short. That it is thine iniquities that have separated between thee and thy God. And all the fasting you do ain't going to change it. Because he said, wherefore have we fasted and you take no notice. I believe you ought to fast. I believe you ought to. We all should fast because we need to bring these bodies under subjection. But to try to fast around the will of God will never do it, my brothers and sisters. To be something big on the field. But when we love one another, we quit gossiping, we quit backbiting, we quit finding fault, and we flow into a coordination and a love and a harmony with one another, and we treat each other with great respect as sons and daughters of God, as kings, as gods, and reverence and respect one another and their rights, not trespass upon their rights, and come together with one mind, and that mind to do the will of God, God will let us ride upon the high places of the earth, feed us with the heritage of Jacob. All of our bills will be paid. He'll supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. He will heal our bodies. Our families will be happy. We'll be in the will and work of God, and we'll bring a revival to the world. God's arm is not short that He cannot save. But let's move the veil of iniquity. Let's rend the veil. Let's rend the veil of iniquity and get in there to God. You want to do that? God personified it as Jesus and rent Him at Calvary for your sake. It is rent if you can believe. But let's rend the veil of iniquity, get beyond the darkness, and go into the heavenly light of God. In this meeting of Missouri, let's go there, as the world says, with spiritual veils on. Somebody said, go with veils on. That's the way Aaron did. Aaron went into the presence of God with veils on, and God liked it. Let's go before God with veils on. Hallelujah. Let's go in there tasting as sweet as a pomegranate. That's the way Aaron done it. He put some pomegranates up here. Just as sweet as a pomegranate. Let's go into His presence smelling like the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. That's the way Aaron done it with that perfume. Is that right? Let's go in there in the presence of God, that when we meet the great King, we'll be like Esther was. Amen. When they said, Esther, you can't go over there. Where is that? But when she got through fasting and praying and talking to God, and she got her faith in the right place, that old king said, she's the prettiest thing in the land. Queen Esther, you just tell me what you want. Folks, we can get so pretty in the eyes of God, so lovely in the eyes of God, till God will say, just name what you want, even to the kingdom, and I'll give it to you. Fear not, little flock, it is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. If it's His pleasure to give it to us, let's get in shape and He'll give it to us. Is that right?